This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
So for a look at how Asian markets are reacting to geopolitical risk and more, we have on the line Han Tan, market analyst with FXTM. Thanks for joining us this morning, Han. Now, demand for safe haven assets, gold and also oil, waned after spiking over US-Iran tensions last week. Have markets chosen to ignore the risk, or will oil and gold stay at somewhat heightened levels while tensions continue?
Yeah, look, I think oil and gold will stay at these heightened levels. I mean, so what the U.S. airstrike did, as well as the ensuing rhetoric from both sides, you know, what it's done is it's elevated the base for both oil and gold, because all of a sudden, now we are talking about $70 a barrel for Brent and $1,600 for gold being within reach. Now, it's important to note that those figures are contingent on the scope, the timing, and the severity of Iran's retaliation. Now, our base case is we do not yet expect an all-out conflict, but heightened tensions that keep gold and oil elevated, that's the base case over the near term.
Okay, and hoping you're feeling better soon, Han, because you sound like you've got a bit of a sore throat there. Meanwhile, China has replaced its Hong Kong liaison officer, potentially signaling a tougher policy line on pro-democracy protesters. Now, does this development change your outlook for the Hong Kong dollar?
Not really, because, look, the political tensions haven't had this huge negative impact on the financial markets in Hong Kong. I mean, you've still got inflows into the onshore equity markets. So investors from mainland China, for example, buying up Hong Kong shares like they are, you know, bakwa on sale in the lead up to Chinese New Year. You know, maybe that's what's causing my voice to sound raspy as well. But these kind of factors helped the Hong Kong dollar kick off 2020 with a bang. But I think these are seasonal tailwinds. And, you know, once those fade, I think the focus will return to how well the hard data, the economy, can actually recover.
And we're also seeing the Thai baht breach the psychologically significant level of 30 per dollar last week for the first time since 2013. And against the ringgit, at 7.50, you probably have to postpone your holiday in Bangkok right now. So what do you think accounts for this strength in the baht, and what measures do you think the Thai central bank is going to take to deal with this runaway strength of the Thai baht?
Yeah, look, Julian, several reasons why the baht is so strong. For example, you've got they have foreign reserves that are just the envy of the region, well over $200 billion. They've also got a healthy current account surplus. The baht has also been boosted by the increased demand of gold that we saw last year going into this year as well, because Thailand is a hub for trading gold. So going back to the measures that you mentioned, look, the Bank of Thailand recently mentioned it's eyeing some active measures to limit the baht strength. So one of that could be a continuation of measures that can allow perhaps more onshore funds to leave Thailand.
And Han, how do you project the ringgit is going to be performing this year amid all of these risks in the region?
Yeah, look, there is hope for a stronger ringgit. That's if we take a year-long approach. But it's going to be a gradual process, we think, not like what we saw over the last couple of weeks. Now, I think the ringgit could eventually trend towards 4.05, maybe even 4 against the dollar, but we had to see several positive factors fall into place. So we should not see another escalation in geopolitical tensions. You hope the global economy can rebound. You hope risk appetite holds up. You hope the dollar wanes further. You hope commodity prices and the yuan can offer the ringgit some strong cues as well. So it's going to be an external picture for the ringgit, at least for 2020.
Thank you very much for your insight there, Han. And that was Han Tan, a market analyst with FXTM. Basically, it sounds like we're hoping for a lot of things in order for the ringgit to strengthen. But yeah, I guess as he says, it is based on a lot of external factors there. There's not much in the way of, I think, domestic support that we can really expect.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.